The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. The 21st century has introduced new norms and resources that are of immense value to businesses and their bottom line. Yet in business, we require relevance and innovation, not just more information. We need the true stories of what works and what does not work. Our program today will tell you what you need to know. The experiences, perspectives, and resources shared by Jen and her guests will make all the difference for you and your business moving forward. Now, here's your host, Jen Sabin.
Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Jen Sabin, and this is Moving Forward, and we're delighted to be together today. We've got an extraordinary topic. Extraordinary may be a poor choice of words. Why do I say this? It's actually an ordinary topic, and we're talking about the extra aspect of it, so it is extraordinary. But that gives a slant to it that occurs as out of the ordinary, unique, rare. And what I'm talking about today, what we're focusing on today, has to do with something that is a now dynamic. It's a global in scale. It is something 75% of Americans have come in contact with. So it's not extraordinary. It's actually normal and available. And yet the opportunity is extraordinary in the world of multi-level direct sales, network marketing. And that's what we're going to be focusing on today. Today we're discussing an aspect of business, which is direct sales, network marketing, multi-level marketing. Now, some of you may be involved in this area, in this type of business model. Some of you may be consumers of this business model, and some of you may have different views or opinions that are not so stellar or supportive of this type of business model, maybe some experiences. First view of this, I want to just explain what this is and the magnitude of it. So network marketing, direct sales, multi-level marketing are different versions of a core business model. And it's a business model where it's a person-to-person sale for a product line or a service. So it's a person-to-person sale. It's away from a fixed retail location. Essentially, that's the core of it. Now, we have different mediums for these, for direct selling with the advent of the internet and technology. So people can purchase products from someone involved in network marketing, direct sales, et cetera, through a website. However, they're not purchasing it directly from corporate. They're purchasing it from a representative, an independent contractor, a consultant, or a distributor of that enterprise. Now, this is such a rich topic. And for another project that my company's been working on, I've been talking and speaking and meeting with people who have been crazy successful. I mean, incredible success. Multi-million sustainability, looking out into the future, like margin of risk is nominal. Just really, really extraordinary success stories in terms of lifestyle, in terms of wealth, and accomplishment. And people who've experienced something that was dramatically different from that. People who may not have, who have, you know, negative views, people who found themselves not successful, having less money than when they started, you know, that version. Now, isn't it interesting that, you know, Three out of four small businesses in the United States of America fail within the first 36 months. And there are reasons for that. And in other shows and with other guests, we've talked about some of these reasons and how to set yourself up and how to deal with the decisions and the challenges and the work habits and the market conditions that can be a catalyst to that. Right? We've talked everything about from team building to expansion to, taxes to PR to marketing to work ethics and habits and the numbers. I mean, just so many different dynamics. I mean, last week, Chrissy Benoit was in here talking about trying to get, training and development for her team, which she had to let practically the entire staff go within 60 days of a new business launch because of the impact she felt they were having upon the customer experience and her standards. And this woman is a champion of people, and she's looking for people to cultivate and grow. So tune into last week if you're looking an organization, a company, a business, a restaurant to be a part of. That's Chrissy Benoit. The Little Kitchen, Boynton Beach, is her newest, her most current project. Yet, circling back. Okay, so here we are. Network marketing, direct sales, multi-level. You know, so many people, we have our views, our opinions, our experiences. Some companies we know are stellar. There's all this. It's really interesting to see the responses and reactions of people around this. Yet, let's talk about this from a business perspective. Right? For the entrepreneurs in the room and those who are starting a new business or have an already existing enterprise business and you're building it, you know what you had to do from idea and concept to execution. Whether you are an attorney who built a law practice or went solo as an attorney rather than, you know, hooking up with a law firm in terms of service professionals, whether you're a consultant, a coach, whether you have a retail establishment, it is a lot of work. There is a certain amount of risk. Some professions have a higher risk than others in terms of barrier to entry. If you're certainly building out a restaurant, it's much more capital intensive. If you're manufacturing, creating a new product, much more capital intensive than a service professional. Right, if majority of services where maybe it might be a lease, collateral material, it's a different dynamic. So here we are. There is a business model that exists where you don't have to build it. You don't have to build the infrastructure. You don't have to create the collateral material. You don't have to get the permits, the licensing, go through the patent process. In the network marketing multi-level business, you actually, at a low entry price point, step into an already existing infrastructure and in many ways are creating like your own fiefdom. You're creating your own business within an already existing infrastructure. You know, for many of these organizations, from a point of quality control, you could have a website for a nominal, you know, $50-$100 a year, and you've got a fully fleshed out website with every product consistent with the brand, the image, etc. You know, with places often to modify it. Now, for those of you who are listening who have your own businesses or you're part of building an organization, think about the energy, the time, and the resources that went into creating a web presence. I'm not talking about branding. I'm not talking about a foothold, but think about what that took. Imagine if someone said you could have it all sorted, handled, done for under $100 in less than an hour. I mean, mind-boggling in terms of what is put into place. And there's no, you know, and it makes sense that there's such a polarized experience, there's such a divergent experience for people in this particular business model and industry. Now, there's such a broad spectrum of organizations, products, and services that exist. And there's many, many places to be able to get a list of these type of organizations, right? And you've got everything from cosmetics to gardening to financial services to, I mean, products and services across the board. As a matter of fact, 75% of all Americans have been involved in the direct selling, either as a consumer or as a seller, as reported by the Direct Sellers Association, which is an entity that really is a reputable organization, you know, setting standards for that particular type of business model. And this is the magnitude of this. I want everyone to consider this. In 2011, global sales and direct marketing, $139.7 billion. Global sales. The United States was 20% of that market. The United States had, what was it? $29.87 billion, just shy of $30 billion in sales in 2011 in the United States of America. 15.6 million people in the United States of America are involved in the direct selling market. So, you know, rounded up, 16 million people selling $29 billion. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because for many people, you know, this really is an extraordinary place to learn how to run a business. It's almost like a petri dish, a beta for some people. For others, it is their business. Everyone has their own intended outcome. It's so unique. You can start a business and define what your success is and know exactly what your financial risk is. I mean, it's mind-boggling. For anyone who's ever considered a multi-level or a network marketing or a direct sales, you know, there's often a vision, there's an experience, there's something that every person who decides to get into business sees for themselves. Whatever the motivator is, at times, you know, in another show, we discussed different types of entrepreneurs, lifestyle entrepreneurs, purpose-driven entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs who just love starting businesses, those who have a product or a service they want to see it realized, and those who want to generate revenue. That's part of the game. That's the pull versus lifestyle. They want to make money. That's what it's part about, not necessarily the quality of life, Paul. So there's all these different dynamics. Now, what is amazing is if you do your due diligence, and this is something you're deciding that you're wanting to go into versus that you're involved and you have built a relationship with someone in this personal product or service dynamic that you're a consumer of, and you say, you know what, I'd like to give this a shot, or I could see how, or they have a conversation with you, whatever that dynamic is. We'll get to that in a moment. However, any entity, any organization, network in direct sales that's a member of the Direct Selling Association, also within, I think it's the first year, you have any product that you purchased wholesale from them, because it's a wholesale, we'll talk about the business model in a moment, but it's a wholesale and retail sale. So they buy the direct seller, the consultant, the independent contractor, the distributor, they buy wholesale, they sell it to you retail. We'll talk about the whole pyramid scammy thing in a moment. So in the first year, if they're a member of the Direct Selling Association and you decide that this isn't for you, you can return that wholesale product, I believe, unused and undamaged. So it hasn't been sold, it's been stored properly, and get 90% of your money back. Can you imagine? What other business can you start? And in the first year, if you change your mind, you could get 90% back of your inventory costs. That's mind-boggling. That is extraordinary in the world of business, right? And so you know for the first year what your threshold of risk is. You know your exit plan. And in a moment, we're going to talk about why the majority of people in direct selling organizations. Don't hit those big numbers. And some ways to turn that around. If this is something or an avenue or an area that you're interested in, if you're considering starting your own business, what a low-risk way to do it with high potential. When we come back, we're going to discuss more about this.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. In sales, are you a lion or a vulture? Lions don't wait, they just go for it. Vultures hang around until the lions are finished and just pick up the scraps. How can you set yourself apart as a lion? Join the other aspiring sales lions and listen to Forget Patience, Let's Sell Something with host Ty Mayner. You'll learn the tips and strategies of top sales professionals. You'll gain more clients at a faster rate and at higher margins. If you're a sales professional, business owner, or executive, listen in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Everybody needs expert advice when they look to develop their personal brand. Join Rochelle McCrary for The Leader and the Muse. Rochelle and her guests will bring you practical tips and tools to help you build your brand in ways that propel you into greater personal and business success. For strategies, stories, and much more, tune in to the Voice America Business Channel every Friday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time for The Leader and the Muse. And get ready to take your brand to the next level.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello, 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 and welcome back. I'm Jen Sabin, and today we're talking about direct selling as a business model. And, you know, according to the United States Department that focuses on the SBA, the Small Business Administration, 3 out of 4 small businesses fail in the United States within the first 36 months. All right. Now, prior we were talking about direct sales, right? In 2011, $139.7 billion globally. In the United States, 15.6 million people are involved in direct sales in 2011. I don't have the 2012 stats, but in 2011, there was sales of $29.87 billion, 20% of really the global market in terms of direct sales. These are really big numbers. These are really big numbers. And many of us, you know, certainly are aware. We have our views, we have our opinions, we have our thoughts about it. We may be consumers of it. We may know people who are involved in it, successful. We may know people who have had less than stellar experiences. And here's what's really interesting. As I mentioned before, for someone who enters into this, which is starting a business, they're entering into something where, and unlike a franchise where you're buying a system, a proven system that certainly typically has a very, very high investment. You are, as someone who becomes a distributor, a contractor, an independent contractor, a consultant, whatever it is of the direct selling company, you are taking on an association with that brand and you are becoming, quote unquote, a distributor, an independent consultant. You're starting your own business and that is the product or service that you are offering to your potential clients and consumers. And it's a person-to-person sale. Of course, there are internet dynamics, but it's a person-to-person sale. The mind-boggling thing is the majority of, certainly the legitimate organizations, have a type of first-year buyback program in place. So, for example, let's say you purchase, for whatever reason, over the course of the year, $10,000 in wholesale goods, and you don't do a thing. At the end of that year, you can return that product and receive $9,000 back. I mean, extraordinary. This is actually for those of us who have built businesses, for those of us who understand what it is to create what hasn't been created yet, you know, to be able to, for many of these independent consultants, contractors, to have already existing collateral material, a website that you just have to pay whatever the $50, the $100 for, and also to be able to the barrier to entry is typically very low in terms of it might be an investment that costs a couple hundred dollars. So when you think about the magnitude of what is available, I'm going to throw out some considerations. And I'm not advocating a particular multi-level or direct a selling association. I just think there's something that's missing in terms of being informed and understanding here, and there's an opportunity to apply this to your own business. So first of all, you know, there's identifying what your intended outcomes is. One of the things unique to this business is it can be a side business for some. They just want pin money. They want an extra couple hundred dollars and to be able to consume maybe the product, be a consumer of it themselves and get it at wholesale. There's many different motivators. There are people who have built extremely, extremely successful enterprises in these direct selling organizations and have just stellar organizations and businesses. And for many of them, they've then created their own products and services to support their team consistent with the standards of the organization, such as training materials and ancillary products, etc. Yet, because of the low barrier to entry, what often happens is that you have people who are interested in the results and aren't fully appreciative or understanding of the consistency or the effort required to have those results. That it's not something that it's an occasional dynamic will give you a particular type of results. Now, what's amazing about this is you could trip upon a star, someone who really has an extraordinary work ethic, commitment, vision, and the nature of these organizations is that you will, in terms of remuneration, financially benefit from that person's success. We're going to get to that in a minute. But here's where there's a big gap in missing, and it's something that's a big gap in missing for most small businesses in general, is a relationship to the numbers. Stay with me on this. Is a relationship to the numbers. What do I mean? Most people don't necessarily create a budget or track weekly. Most businesses aren't even necessarily doing their inventory weekly or looking at things in terms of a rotating business. If you have a small business and you've got stock on the shelves, has that stock been there 30, 60, 90 days? At what point do you have to do an initiative to bundle it, to move it out of the store so you have that ecosystem? If you're an independent contractor or distributor or consultant with one of these direct selling associations, you still need a plan. And you still need consistency. And you also have to ensure that you're taking care of the accounting piece, that you're managing the money in a way so that as you make a sale, that you're segregating the funds to replenish whatever it was that was sold, to make sure that expenses are being taken care of in terms of repayment of your original investment, your startup loan to yourself or whatever you put it on, or to credit card or whatever it was, because it is typically, we're not talking more than a couple thousand dollars max in terms of initial inventory for many of these entities. And sometimes it's, you know, direct, you're not even incurring that piece. So some of you might be listening and saying, yeah, but what's the catch? The catch is you have to work. And you need to work consistently. And what is amazing is for many people that are doing this as a, as an avocation or on the side, if you actually flip-flop that and looked at maybe your primary vocation is moonlighting while you're building out this, this, this something that has no limitations. It has no limitations in terms of the expansiveness. Now, the business model, let's talk about the business model for a minute, because this is something that is valuable to understand. It really is valuable to understand. There is a something to be cautious of and careful of is, you know, who is the customer, right? And that's the difference between a pyramid scheme and multi-level. Who is the customer? If you're doing what is called dual, essentially dual marketing, you are buying wholesale from an organization, an entity, such as a, I'll use examples, such as a Mary Kay, such as an Herbalife. You know, you're buying wholesale from the company and you're selling retail. That is dual marketing. That is no different than any retail business model that exists. If you go into a clothing store, if you go into a shoe store, if you want to buy a bicycle, if you want to buy a car, it's the same model in terms of that. They're buying wholesale, they're selling retail. Maybe it's a manufacturer store, so, you know, it's a different dynamic. They're selling their own product, but there is that the cost to make it. So there's your cost of goods. You're buying wholesale, you're selling retail. Now, what makes the this particular industry so unique, is that you have an opportunity to build an organization or build a team or whatever the language is. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who are doing the same thing as you that you can monetarily benefit from if their success, you know, in terms of their success. What a pyramid scheme is, and there's a big distinction here. The distinction is, and this is so important to know, the pyramid means that you're selling to your team, that you're buying your product from someone else in the organization, and that's part of how they're getting their profitability. Somebody's going to get left hold in the bag. So it's, the you know, person A pays 50 cents, they sell it to person B in the organization for 60 cents, who sells it to person C in the organization that they brought in for 70 cents, etc. That's different than dual marketing. Dual marketing means you go to the Dean and DeLuca, you go to the clothing store, you go to the Whole Foods, and you're buying a product that they purchased, that they paid a wholesale price, and they're selling it to you retail. So they paid 60 cents, and they're selling it to you for a dollar, and that 40 cents is part of their gross profit. Their gross revenues, not profit, I apologize, gross revenues. So it's the same thing here. That's the difference between a multi-level, we're getting into multi-level versus pyramid. And we all want everyone involved here to stay away from pyramid. You know, that's a zero-sum game. That's a zero-sum game. But multi-level is a healthy business model. It's actually, you know, not, I mean, the dual marketing is wholesale retail, what all businesses are paid upon. Now, there's a unique piece, though, to this direct selling, to the multi-level, whatever you want to call it. The multi-level organization means that if you introduce someone to the organization, or if they come to you, and they are part of your team, whether you're actively working with them or not, we're not getting into those particulars, but from a structural point of view, based upon their percentage of wholesale, corporate, the company itself gives you an override, a commission. So picture this. Let's say there's a brokerage house or a retail store, and there's what that store, it's one of many that belong to, that are part of an organization. There's what that store does. If in many organizations, if a store or a one of their outlets does a certain amount of sales, then the manager gets a bonus or a commission or an override of some sort. It does not come out of the people who work their pockets. So in other words, everyone pays this in a multi-level. Everyone essentially pays the organization 50 cents and sells it at a buck. However, if somebody has someone on their team or has signed up a distributor or whatever it is, for every 50 cents that that person orders from the company to sell, the company gives them a commission on that. How amazing. This is part of the business model. When we get back, we're going to talk more about this because it's valuable to understand, and then we could actually see how this could be valuable for your business growth, and also if you're in this industry, to understand where you may be being tripped up. When we come back.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
If you currently or aspire to serve on a board or work in a leadership capacity for or with a public or nonprofit organization, where can you turn to get the best advice and practices? How about Leadership Matters with Dr. Cheryl G. and Jenny Frumer? Our program discusses challenges facing both public and nonprofit leaders. Don't miss these practical solutions and tips to enhance your leadership style and effectiveness. Leadership Matters with Dr. Cheryl G. and Jenny Frumer airs live Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
How can we Americans realize our dreams to earn a living? How can you pursue your dream and make money as an owner or an employee? Learn how at The American Business Person, the online weekly radio talk show hosted by Rich Killian. Today's business leaders share how to succeed and what fails. If you own a new or established business or ever hope to, you must tune in. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Central, and noon Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel or listen on demand to our archived shows.
Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello, hello, and welcome back. Today we're talking about direct sales, network marketing, whatever umbrella you want to put it under, what essentially translates to almost $30 billion, just shy of $30 billion of sales in the United States in 2011, with almost 16 million people involved, 15.6 million people who are part of a direct sales organization. And to understand the magnitude of this, in 2011, the U.S. had 29, almost just shy of $30 billion in sales. In Japan, $24 billion. I'm rounding up. China, $17 billion. South Korea, $13 billion. In Brasilia, $12 million. These are staggering numbers. And when you think about it, any man or woman on the planet really who has the ability to sign the contract, pay the initial fees, can literally hang out a shingle and be in business. Now, organizations may have certain vetting processes. I don't know specifically what they are. However, you know, there's a very, very low barrier to entry with an upside. So what's the rub? We were just talking about, you know, 3 out of 4 small businesses fail in the first 3 years, right? That's a stat. That's a staggering stat. And we also talked about some of the advantages to this particular platform for this particular business model, the advantages of having already the infrastructure built in place, the collateral materials, being able to define your risk in terms of your potential loss, right? What is the upside and what is it that you, in terms of capital, time, energy, resources, the first year, any organization that's legit and part of the direct selling association, you're looking at a buyback program of some sort for wholesale products that haven't been used. Some organizations, though, if you do choose to take advantage of that, you change your mind, you cannot come back in as a distributor for the organization again. So it's kind of, that's your mulligan. However, if it's something that you're clear it's not for you, you just want to be a consumer of the product, you're willing to pay retail and not stay in it and use the products or services at wholesale price or whatever your access is to as a distributor or independent contractor, you can say thank you very much. I mean, for anyone who started a business or has built a business, that's amazing that this infrastructure is already built in and you don't have the high barrier to entry in terms of cost of a franchise, you know, and that type of risk and exposure, even though a franchise is essentially a proven system, a proven business model. But you do have in a franchise it being cookie cutter in terms of somebody's packaged it and put it together. There's not that kind of thinking that you have to do, the critical thinking, the time, the energy, the resources. So here we have this, you know, really great structure. We know the ins and outs. So what is it that has so many, dynamics where you hear people talk in less in a positive way? Everyone either knows someone who's had a great success or enjoys it or does it, or they know someone that really has had a very, very poor negative experience. Well, when you, the piece that might be more unique to this is that for many people, they're buying into a dream. They're investing in something that's bigger than the reality now, as every business owner does. When Chrissy Benoit opens a restaurant, you know, all she has is debt till that door opens, and then it takes a while, right? There's the vision of that establishment. You know, when Jennifer Borba von Stauffenberg opened her PR firm, you know, there was nothing there yet. So there's this piece where there's something that you're realizing, that you're bringing into fact, that you're bringing into reality that isn't there when you start your business, as with this. However, for many people, they're not necessarily, one, starting off looking at it as a business in terms of tracking numbers, accounting, budgeting. Not that it's big or a big deal, but to be responsible for that piece and manage it. There's also very often, you know, the training piece. Many of these organizations have great training. However, there is a piece where it's up to the individual. And there's the consistency and the effort piece that we know is so important, and no business, I'm sure I'm going to get calls and letters because I'm saying this, I don't know of a business that was built without effort and consistency. Now, there are some that have had, you know, tripped upon opportunities and luck, but if you look at what brought them to that point where they could be in that position to trip upon the opportunity and the luck, then, you know, there was still effort and consistency put in there, or inconsistent and consistency, you know, certainly an effort. Now, so here we are. What's the point of all this, Jen? Why are you using today's show to highlight this? Because it's a huge business. And so many of, if not some of our listeners, whether as a consumer or whether it's your business, are involved in this. And a lot of what this show is focused on is successful individuals who have had great accomplishments and are still in it. They're in the trenches. They're where you're making the hard decisions, and it's a different level of growth. You know, certainly, you know, it's like watching an NBA team, a professional athlete. He's a professional athlete, and we're watching him play the game. That's the level of the guests we have on our show, right? I'm very fortunate to do that, and they're just so generous in terms of mentoring and sharing their stories and experiences and ideas and being really authentic about it, right? This is not a neat, pretty little show all tied up in a bow. So what is it about the naysayers and the negativity and the dynamics and why there are so many people that aren't successful? Well, First of all, what I would offer is that there are people whose version or vision of success is not what somebody else's is. So, for example, I met with one woman who I talked to who's in a multi-level in network marketing, and she does it for specifically to be able to consume the products and services wholesale. So as a consumer, she's saving money. And two, for an extra, and she shared the amount, it was less than $500 a month for her horses. And if whatever it does, it takes to have that be the outcome, she'll do, and then she's done. She's not looking to build it beyond there. Maybe someday, not now. Really, really interesting. Now, for somebody else, they might say $6,000 a year, that's not a success story. Or $2,400 a year for the person who's doing it for the family vacation, that's not a success story. But it is to those people. So that's why when we look at these numbers and, you know, there's, it's skewed. It's very important for everyone to have clarity. Now, what I'm curious about is, do you have that same kind of clarity with your business? Do you know what your vision or version of success is? Because many of us, as we're in business a while, we get focused on the quarter or the year, and we can move further and further away from that larger picture and what it takes to get there. We become, even though we're working on it and in it, we are the expansiveness of what it could be has diminished. And for many of people in direct sales, it's not adrenaline. That's not what's going to have them be that sustainable success. It really is something that is very personal and at the same time, $500 a month is most likely not going to maintain a certain standard of living for someone in terms of utilities, rent, mortgage, household. So obviously in that situation, it's supplemental. It's a side business. It's a second business. It's an avocation, I would even dare to call it, a hobby of sorts. But what about for those who really, really want this to be a business that's successful? Well, I talk to a lot of top producers or top people in organizations, and my definition of top was that they've made over $3 million in their enterprise and are either retired from it as a full-time vocation or are they're currently in it. And many of these people were talking over $20 million that they've generated. And there was, it was really interesting because there was a lot of commonality in what they said the primary mistakes were and what it took. When we get back, I'm going to share with you some of their thoughts, and we'll learn more about what is wanted and needed. And trust me, what we're talking about here is the business of business. There's no difference between the direct sales organization regarding this. There's a difference in the model, but the core pieces are the business of business. When we come back.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
We all face some economic uncertainty in our life. What makes the difference is how we take command of that and survive. Tune in to Strategies for Financial Survival with host Michael Figueroa. Michael has been up and down the road to success several times, and along with his guests, will share the skills of survival. By assessing your strengths and skills and applying them to your future, you can make it through tough times, regardless of your field. Listen every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Do you, like most Americans, spend the majority of your life at work? Are you making it the joy that it deserves to be, or are you feeling drained and unfocused? Tune in to A Great Place to Work with hosts Kirk Kaufman and Dr. Kathy Sorensen. Your hosts have more than 30 years of experience in workplace consulting and are ready to bring you the secrets and success stories of businesses who are making their business a great place to work. Listen every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel and enjoy a better workplace and a better life.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello and welcome back. Today we're talking about direct sales, network marketing, multi-level. We're talking about really the beauty and the brilliance of the business models and the business that could be available. And why do people trip up in it? You know, what happens that has people not be successful? Well, one of the things we discussed is be careful of qualifying what success is from your perspective versus what their perspective is. There's a distinction between it being something that's an avocation or a side business or a hobby, and the objectives in terms of the revenues might seem very low, but yet for that person, it's exactly what they wanted. This is such a personal dynamic, which is unique to business, because in a business, we're looking for something that is sustainable, that's scalable, that's expansive. And when people enter into these organizations, they're already they're really hanging up a shingle. They're going into business. And some people see it that way, and some people don't necessarily get that piece. So we're looking at it from a business perspective. And, you know, like any business or any enterprise that you're going to start or that you're growing, you know, there's the risk. There's the upside. There's the infrastructure. There's the process of the piece, the people. Before we took the break, I mentioned that I had talked to some people who really had stellar out-of-the-ballpark success with these things that by most standards people would say multi-million dollar success, quality of life, and have built large organizations within the direct selling world. And some of the things that they've pointed to were, first of all, the effort, the time and consistency, that different people have different skill sets. Some people are very good with people one-on-one. Some people do well in groups. However, you can't get away from that it is a people business. Very often they said the products will sell themselves, that there's a reason why many of these companies have been around for decades. I think Mary Kay, which is an international cosmetic company started by Mary Kay Ash, it's their 50th year. You've got to be doing something right to be in business with a consumer product for 50 years and to show some, you know, sustainable or scalable growth. You know, other companies such as Herbalife, you know, and yet there's a lot of back and forth. If you hit these things up on the internet and Google them, you'll hear a lot of negativity and a lot of praise. So is the negativity coming from people who were burned, or was it that they were looking to buy? Like many business owners that deal in a retail dynamic, in a product dynamic, not necessarily a service where there's less of an overhead, but a product dynamic, where were they looking to buy their way into success, meaning purchasing more or taking on venues that were costly and not managing the potential return on investment of those? So, in other words, were they selling at retail what they were purchasing at wholesale? Or were they stockpiling? This is a common mistake that, in terms of managing inventory, that many retailers make. When I go in with my firm and we go with new clients, and very often we'll see this is very common, not managing that piece. So what was interesting was there was such consistency from the people that were successful. First of all, they said, you know, very often the product sells itself. And it's a matter of being consistent and making sure that you're building relationships, that you're meeting new people, and that you're putting yourself in a venue, that you're inviting, that you're opening up. So opportunities for people. And that's not necessarily about saying, hi, sell this. One of the things that could dramatically, they said, influence, not the sole factor, but dramatically influence, is whoever introduced that person to the organization. Because for many people, that's how they learn their that's what they're modeling or emulating. So the experience that they've had already with someone can be influence how they go about it. Now, again, consistency was one of the main things, being willing to put in the effort and be consistent. Because what was so interesting is almost everyone said it's a numbers game. That it's a numbers game, which most businesses are at a level. You could come up with the recipe for almost any business. However, somebody else has already figured most of this out. And if they're doing the numbers and something's not working, they all recommended if the person that is your direct report I'm using corporate language, but the person who is your upline, or the person who is your director or your recruiter or whatever, those are like awkward words, but the person who introduced you to the organization and that you've entered, you're part of their organization, they said that many times people look to them and they don't get what they want, they stop. In terms of support, in terms of training, they stop. Rather than going out and finding someone who's successful in the organization and reaching out to them, or reaching out to whoever that person's director or, you know, top distributor is, etc. It was really, really interesting. It wasn't, in not one instant was it market conditions, was it the economy? It literally all came down to, from each and every one of them, consistency, tracking, creating relationships, and staying started. It was just so fascinating. Because we know for other businesses that there are many, many, many other variables that influence it. And these being the key. These being the key pieces. Certainly there's the personal growth and training and making sure you understand what you're doing. But even with that, those other pieces, every single one of them consistently, you know, said that was what they've observed over the years, watching the ebb and flow of people go in and out of the organization. And sometimes people aren't ready. Now, what's so amazing is these are businesses. And for many of us, who have our own businesses or in business, you know, we look at this with like, but it's a business. There's something kind of, without being too dramatic, sacred about it. This is something that you're building and you're creating and you're cultivating. But there is a different dynamic, and that is because so many people see this as something on the side that could be a potential, and not necessarily embrace it as empire building. Empire building. And yet, in terms of what it can make available, if you do your due diligence, if you find a product or service that really resonates with you, you know, prepaid legal, which I used to trade when I was on the American Stock Exchange, it was under $1, and this is going back decades when I had my firm on Wall Street, and I was the youngest woman to buy a seat on the exchange. So it was one of the stocks that I was involved in, which is now called Legal Shield. You know, and it provides legal services. I'm not advocating the company. I'm just talking about the breadth and the depth of the types of organizations. Maybe, you know, that's your next business. I don't know. However, don't dismiss or disregard this business model out there. And I would encourage everyone who has their own business to look at how they set up, their trainings, their packaging, their compensation. It is an extraordinary industry business model to cherry pick from. Extraordinary. When I say cherry pick, I mean look around there and see what makes sense that would be an enhancement to your own existing business, because they know how to grow and they know how to cultivate people and be expansive. And if your business is not, you know, generating millions or billions, there might be something to learn here. There might be something to learn. And listen to the two versions of those who, you know, accomplish great success and those who, you know, are not so happy with what happened. Listen to the reality of the story. Who was responsible? And this isn't saying that I'm going to get some strong feedback from this, but were you putting in the consistency? Were you putting in the effort? And were you looking for someone to support you or train you or cultivate you, and they weren't doing it and you didn't go elsewhere? I don't know. I don't know your story individually. I know what I've read. However, somebody is a consumer of that product. And people are using these products, and that's just quite brilliant. So when you're doing your due diligence, you know, the wild part about this is you could actually build an organization to a point where you could step back and then go on to your next venture. So for the entrepreneur, it really is just an extraordinary platform. Was today to introduce you to this as something to do? Not necessarily. No. Was today to just raise awareness around what is a really good place to look to learn for things that your business may be missing, or approaches or styles or models? Absolutely. You know, we've talked about best practices, and I mentioned that best practices, once they're introduced and they're working, are not best practices. That's the way it is. So where can you enhance from somebody who's doing it well? You know, take advice from people who are doing it the way you want to do it or have accomplished it, right? There's just this extraordinary rich resource out there. And if you're not looking around to look and learn from those resources as well, then I would assert that we're missing the boat. And it's just such an easy, because the numbers don't lie. Right? This isn't saying that everyone's going to enjoy great success. What they have the potential to do is enjoy their own version of success. And there'll be a lot of failures. Why? Because that's not the nature of people, it's the nature of the numbers. Right? And people will disappoint us, but the numbers typically won't. It's that may be cold to some people, but if you've been in business and you've noticed the models, you will notice these trends. Today was an introduction to the direct selling, and something that often isn't talked about or focused upon in terms of mainstream businesses. However, they're doing it right in so many ways. There's a lot for everyone to grow and evolve, but there's also an incredible amount for us to learn in our businesses from them. So for this week, why don't you check one or two of them out and see what you could how that could enhance your business. Maybe you just found a new market for your products or services. Everyone, great week. Make it a Moving Forward week.
Thank you again for tuning in to Moving Forward. Please join Jen Sabin again next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Make your week a Moving Forward week.